Shifting to Europe, where the picture this week involves military operations, alliance politics, and a ticking clock that Czech President Petr Pavel described with unusual precision. Pavel warned allies that there's roughly a two-month window before Russia's September elections conclude, after which he believes Putin could order general mobilization. His argument is that the Kremlin needs to show domestic audiences a credible military path forward, and post-election is the politically safer moment to escalate the troop commitment.
2 months is a very specific warning. Pavel is a former NATO military committee chairman. He's not a politician guessing. When someone with his institutional knowledge sets a timeline like that, European defense ministries listen.
Ukraine's military posture this week sent its own signals. Kyiv told Greek officials directly that it will continue striking Russian ships at sea. This is significant because Greece, given its own maritime interests and its complex position within the EU and NATO, has sometimes been a softer voice on sanctions. Ukraine choosing to communicate this commitment to Athens suggests Kyiv is managing alliance relationships carefully, making sure there's no ambiguity about its intentions, even with partners who might prefer a quieter approach.
The Kremlin responded to the broader NATO summit by threatening a larger buffer zone, essentially saying that deep Ukrainian strikes would force Moscow to expand its occupied territory in response. That's a familiar rhetorical pattern: frame offensive military action as a defensive response to provocation. Schumer called Trump's performance at the NATO summit an embarrassment to the United States, which suggests the summit produced friction, though the alliance officially backed Ukraine's position.
The drone transfer story is genuinely interesting from a military technology standpoint. Zelensky confirmed that Ukraine has signed documents allowing various drone types to be transferred to the U.S. military for evaluation. A full deal worth up to $50 billion remains unsigned, but sending hardware for testing is a concrete step. Ukraine's drone program has been one of the conflict's genuine military innovations. They've developed long-range strike drones, naval surface drones, and counter-drone systems under live combat conditions. The U.S. military evaluating that technology isn't charity. It's the Pentagon recognizing that Ukraine has battlefield data no simulation can replicate.
And Zelensky's claim that China warned Russia against nuclear use, if accurate, that's a diplomatic development worth tracking carefully. China has generally avoided publicly constraining Russia's options, preferring studied ambiguity. A private warning against nuclear use would represent Beijing drawing a line it hadn't previously drawn, in a way Kyiv could verify and publicize. Whether that represents a genuine shift in Chinese policy or a tactical communication designed to be leaked is genuinely hard to assess from the outside.
There's also the Jeb Bush warning about Cuba that fits loosely into this security picture. Bush warned this week that a Cuban drone stockpile poses a threat to the United States. The specifics weren't detailed, but the broader pattern of drone proliferation, from Ukraine to Iran to Cuba, reflects how inexpensive unmanned systems are reshaping security calculations in every theater simultaneously. The DJI story we'll touch on later, where Chinese drones completed three missions on Mount Everest, including an altitude record, is a reminder that the most advanced drone technology is increasingly commercial and dual use.
One more thread here. The FBI director Kash Patel announced that agents arrested 113 foreign spies this year, with a 53% jump in counterintelligence arrests and 62 Chinese operatives removed in 2026 alone. That number, 62 Chinese intelligence operatives in a single year, is remarkable and suggests either a genuine surge in Chinese espionage activity or significantly improved FBI detection capability, probably some of both.